Back to Drive Time here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Joe Hagenmiller is with us, head coach of the men's and women's Nordic skiing teams. Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Pretty good, Dirk.
Welcome back.
Thank you, Dirk. It was a long drive.
What is the hours? How long does it take to get out there? I think you told us before, but I don't write things down.
I think it was around 24 hours in the van.
Wow.
One way.
One way.
Well, you're out there for a while, out in Utah, yep. and a whole week of skiing and U.S. Nationals. This is the event we're going to be hosting here on our campus the next two winters, right?
That is correct.
And talk about the format and just the week in general there.
Well, the weekend, it's a week-long series. The first weekend, we had a distance individual start race where the women went 10K, the men went 15. And that was classic style this year. Next year, I think that'll be freestyle. And then we followed that up with a sprint, and that was freestyle technique. So that was Saturday, Sunday. Then we had 2 days off, and then Wednesday we had a mass start freestyle race that was 20 and 30Ks for the men and the women. And then the juniors went 5 and 10Ks later in the afternoon. And then Friday we had a classic sprint.
And in terms of, you know, the races, there's junior races mixed in there as well. So there's just races all over the place, isn't there?
Oh, yeah. It made for a few long days. There were a few days where we had people starting at 10, and then Kyle Hansen, the poor guy, we were giving him a hard time because he was always racing at 2:45, 3:30 in the afternoon. So our coaching staff was kind of like, we've already been here for a whole day. What? Come on, Kyle. But Kyle was performing well, so it was fun to keep working for him.
You talked about him being able to finish on the podium. Talk about that performance.
Well, in the classic sprint in the junior class, he was able to make it into the rounds. And then in his first quarterfinal, he ended up, I think, in third, but got through on time to be one of the top 12 guys. There's five heats, and the top two move on, and then two more move on by time. And then as he kept moving through the rounds, then he started moving up into second place, I think, in the semifinals, and then in the finals he ended up in third and making the podium, which is certainly not easy to do at the U.S. National Championship. So we're pretty proud of what he was able to do, and he was racing well all week.
What were the conditions like out there? Obviously, it was really cold here for much of the time that you guys were out there, but lots of snow here. What were the conditions like there?
Well, everybody was kind of socked in their house here because it was so cold. It was actually pretty nice in Utah. Daytime highs in the high 20s, maybe low 30s, and overnight the lows probably in the single digits. So pretty typical winter. They had a lot of man-made snow there. The venue is fairly far south in the United States for snow, and it's not really that high in the mountains where you can count on having a lot of natural snow. So the venue had about 3Ks of man-made snow and 2Ks of natural snow that we were racing on regularly.
Talk about maybe some performances from the women's team that stood out for you.
Well, before we get to the women, I really gotta give Jay Woodbeck a lot of credit. He did. He had a really good week, and I've now dubbed him as being the fastest man from Hancock, Michigan. He made it into the top 40 at U.S. Nationals, and that's not easy to do. So he had a really awesome race the first race and continued to race well. So I think that's a credit to the hard work he's put in, because he's definitely a blue-collar type of worker, going and working hard and not really getting by solely on having a lot of talent and kind of just milking that talent. He's training hard and working hard to do that. Okay, on the women's side, I think Alice Flanders had a good week in the distance races. And then in the sprint races, Lisa Koenig and Deidre Irwin had some really good results. Deidre Irwin qualified in ninth and was really doing well in her heat, and then took a tumble on the toughest downhill on the course and really fell hard. Fortunately, I think she's back to able to ski now and whatnot, but I think she really knocked the wind out of herself pretty darn good.
Wow.
Talk about this weekend coming up, Joe, real quick.
This weekend coming up, we're heading down to Cable, Wisconsin for some more NCAA qualifying races and Junior Olympic qualifiers. This used to be a super tour, but they kind of changed the schedule around, so this race will have everything that it used to have except for the super tour.
Gotcha. And how are the? Do you know about the conditions out there? What kind of snow they're getting down there?
Driving back through Wisconsin, it looked like there was plenty of snow in the area. I mean, certainly not what we have here. It's amazing how much snow we have here. When I got back home, I was like, whew, wow, those are some high snowbanks. I don't think the snowbanks are quite that high down there, but I think they've got a pretty good amount of snow to work with.
All right, Joe, thanks for your time. We appreciate it. Michigan Tech Nordic Skiing down in Wisconsin this weekend. We'll talk to you soon, okay, Joe?
Okay, bye, Dirk.
Joe Hagemiller here on Mix 93 WKMJ, just getting back from Utah. And that's going to just about do it for Huskies Drive Time, but we want to remind you about a couple of other things coming up this week. Intra-squad game for Michigan Tech hockey. They're taking on each other, dividing up into two teams for a benefit on Saturday afternoon, right after the Michigan Tech basketball doubleheader. Scoot on over to the Houghton County Arena in Hancock, right, Wes?
That's right. 5 o'clock over at the HOCO, and we'll have a chance for fans to get some autographs. Kids can get some autographs of their favorite players and meet the team in the lobby after the game. They'll be milling around there. Great community event for fans that maybe want to go and talk to a player or ask them a question or whatever, or introduce their kids to some college hockey players. This is a great way to do it, and that's coming up on Saturday, so we're looking forward to that. And then, of course, the big home series. If you haven't gotten your tickets yet, you better, because it's going to be a lot of fun. Ferris State coming into town. They're ranked number two this week, Dirk. And they play at Minnesota State this weekend. So they have games. We do not, but it will be a very fun game to series to watch next weekend at the John McGinnis Student Ice Arena. I think it'll wrap up a 40-day dry spell of no hockey at the MAC when we play on January 24th. But we've got seven of our next nine games are at home, Dirk, and we've got 12 games left on the regular season schedule. So
you say a 40-day? Is that what you said?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Really?
Yeah, because we went from the 14th of December all the way to the 24th of January. So that'd be 40 days. Maybe 41. I don't know.
That's hard to you're right. It's hard to believe it's that long.
So, yeah, it's been a long time. Obviously, the GLI in there that we hosted, but that wasn't here. And so it's been a lot of road games this year. And, you know, you look back, you know, six of our losses are on the road against top four ranked teams, you know. And five of those six games were by one goal. So, you know, obviously we played some tough competition, and we got more coming up with Ferris State coming up here, but it'll be good to be at home and encourage people to get their tickets now and get out there for that.
All right, that's Huskies Drive Time right here on Mix 93 WKMJ.